Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 22, 2016, or it is Bull 20, 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, His Eye is on the Sparrow. His eye is on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Yahshua is my portion, my constant companion is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. No, by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song is placed to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. With eyes on the sparrow, and only watches me. Judgments on Jerusalem is the name of our subject today. We're going to start with Jeremiah chapter 6. It says, O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Cherim, for evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion unto a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Yahshua of the host said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casts out her waters, so she casts out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee a desolate, a land not inhabited. This saith Yahshua of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the basket. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of Yahshua is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Yahweh. I am weary with a holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Yahshua. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, say, they shall be cast down, saith the Yahshua. Thus saith Yahshua, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old path, where is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and a sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice is sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, sit in array, as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Now what is this telling us? the Adventist Church represents, the Davidians actually represents the daughter of Zion. Now it says the daughter of Zion here. Adventist Church represents the mother, Zion. So the Davidians represents the daughter of Zion. Okay. So it says, we have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. Now, who is this? This is the daughter of Zion. This is the house of David that has inherited the daughter of Zion. At Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, was the last daughter of Zion in existence up until 2002. Okay, so now he says, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed with the fire, the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Yahweh has rejected them. Okay, your key here is, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. So he says, he's given the house of David, and I'm going to go now, and I'm going to go to Micah, chapter 4. Let's go look at it. It's talking about this tower, and the daughter of Zion. Okay, let's just read, once again, we've had it before, but in the last days, let's start with verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass. Now this is going to come to pass, that the mountain of the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow under it. Now this mountain of the house of the Yahweh is this little stone that was hewn out of the mountain without hands. It grows into a mountain, fills the whole earth. This is the mountain of the house of the Yahweh. Now, the Adventist Church says, we're this mountain. Yeah, they were that big mountain that's mentioned there in Psalms, I believe, 67. Now, David mentions that mountain, those mountains. He mentions more than one mountain in Psalm 68. Psalm 68, David says in verse 14, when the Almighty, that's talking about the Father, scattered kings, and it was white as snow in Salmon, for the hill of the Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan. Now, the hill of Bashan is the Adventist Church. So now he says the hill of Yahweh, though. The hill of Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan. So apparently then Bashan, that great mountain that started in 1844 and became a great mountain, is not Yahweh's hill. According to Psalm 68:15, it says, but the hill of Yahweh is as a hill of Bashan, and high hill, as a hill of Bashan. Why leap ye high hills? Now he's talking about more than one hill here. He's talking about at least three, Dashan, Karma, and Gilead. So he's asking the question to all three of these hills that develop from that great mountain of the Adventist Church. He says, why leap ye high hill? This is a hill which Yahweh desires to dwell in. The Yahweh will dwell in it forever. And Yahshua, his son. So what hill is that? That's that little stone hewn out of the mountain, Daniel 2, 44 and 45, without hands, that smote the image on the feet and grew into a mountain and filled the whole earth. That's what that hill did. It says, the chariots of Yahweh are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Yahweh is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Okay. So now, it's talking about this hill here, this fourth hill, number four, which is a hill of the daughter of Zion, the house of David, the lawgiver, the tribe of Judah. This is that high hill that Yahweh is talking about here in Psalm 68:15, the hill of the Yahweh, which is the hill of David, is as the hill of Bashan. Right, now we go back to Micah chapter 4 and continue our reading now in verse 1. Let's start and do verse 1 again. It says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain. It shall be exalted above the hill, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth as Zion, and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. Okay, now it says that the Father and the Son are working together here now, according to John chapter 1, where it talks about the word of Yahweh in chapter 1, verse 1, John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with you, the Father, Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh as well. So the Father and the Son actually represents the Word together. So it says, the same was in the beginning with the Father. Okay, so Yahshua is a word that was in the beginning with the Father. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So now, here's something else that I see some new light on. I've always interpreted this to mean that by Yahshua all things were made. Yes, he was with the Father. But the Father is the one with the power to create all things. So when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Father, and the Word was the Father in the beginning. Because the Father was alone before he created his Son, Yahshua. So this has to apply solely, John chapter 1 verse 1 has to apply solely to the Father. In the beginning was the Word. Now we don't know when the beginning of Yahweh the Father began for him personally, how he evolved and came about, but we do know that he created his Son, and we have that record there in Revelation 3:14, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of the Father. So, we can go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. So you have to start with number 1, and the Father is number 1 in the beginning. His Son is number 2. Okay. And the Word was with the Father. So the Word, the truth, in other words, the truth, was with the Father. And the Word was, it says, was God here. So I've corrected this many times before, but you know what? This has to be more defined. And I can defend this here, this position here, with the facts. So in John chapter 1 verse 2, it says the same was in the beginning with the Father. Well, what is it talking about, the same? The same is talking about the Word. It's not talking about the Son, it's talking about the Word. All things were made by Him. By who? By the Father. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay. Now, I know it says in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, and the Word was made flesh. Okay, what Word? Yahweh the Father. The Word. In other words, He created His first creation was His Son, Yahshua, the only begotten of the Father, out of His own loins. And He says, and the Word was made flesh. So Yahweh's Word was made flesh through His Son. Because His Son is the author of the salvation of mankind, and that's in Hebrews chapter 5. So it says, and the Word was made flesh, Yahweh's Word, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Mm-hmm. So we beheld the Father's glory through His Son, full of grace and truth. Okay. So now, I know, because see, we have inconsistencies if we say that Yahshua is the sole creator of the world, and that's what you build on if you continue with that thought that the Father created all things by His Son. Okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove that to you. Hebrews chapter 1. Yahweh, verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Yahweh, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's talking about the Father. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So now here's the Father speaking in times past by the prophets. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Okay, now it says, by whom also He made the world. So in other words, the first creation of the Father is His Son. Okay. So the Father now has a medium in which to be glorified through, His Son. He has somebody that can emulate His image and can show the world what the Father looks like, and can pass on and teach the Father's words, not Yahshua's words. Yahshua made that clear there in the Gospels, especially in John. So he says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. What do you think about that explanation?
That's good.
That's right.
I agree with
you. That confusion that Yeshua is the creator of all things. No,
I've never believed that.
I just dispelled all of that with John chapter 1, verse 1. And I don't know why I was impressed to go right to that from Micah 4. But you know what? And thou, O tower of the flock, in verse 8 of Micah 4. So, let's look at that, folks. Let's go back now to Micah 4. And let's start with the first verse again. And let's try to get through that chapter. There's 13 verses to Micah 4. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh, which is the house of David now, this mountain is the house of David, shall be established in the top of the mountains. Okay, now, when it says that in the top of the mountains, it's talking about those mountains, those three mountains there in Psalm 68. It's not talking about all the Sunday keeping churches. The Sunday keeping churches have been given to the salt pits. They no longer are viable. They no longer have any part to play other than the fact that the Gentiles is going to be retrieved out of them one day. And that's the only part that the Gentile churches has got to play today, is giving up their remnant. And that will take place in the final great harvest that we're looking at right now. So in Psalms 68, once again, verse 15, it says, the hill of Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Well, the hill of Bashan has been identified as the Adventist hill. That's the hill that the Adventist church produced. And the Adventist church produced three hills that represented her church. And that was Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. We've been through that before, the three feeding pastures, which represents the three steps of the genuine moon of the seventh-day Adventist. So, those three hills are represented here according to Micah 4. It says that, but in the last days it shall come to pass at the mountain. This is, the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, which is the house of David. The mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains. So what mountains have gone before? Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. And it shall be exalted above the hills. Okay, now, what hills? It's these off branches of these three different hills. All the Adventist churches all over the world. All your Davidian Shepherd Rod Carmel all over the world. All your Gilead Center, which is no more. So the Gilead Center don't have any offshoots all over the world. Only the Mount Carmel and the Adventist. Those are the only two hills left standing that has churches to their, as monuments to their creation. But the Gilead Center, the third one, don't have any monuments to their creation. So what does that tell you? That means technically that those three hills, Basin, Carmel, and Gilead, have been dissolved in one, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. So all of the Adventists now, and the Davidian, the Shepherd Rod, the Mount Carmel, they have been given to the salt pits except their remnant. That's got to come out of her. That's the 144,000. And that's all that's left to be retrieved from those three hills. Basin, Carmel, and Gilead. And they've already been judged, and they are in the wings waiting to come forth at the appointed time. So, this house of David is the only one that's going to be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations, verse 2, Micah 4, and shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshare, and their spears in the pruning hoofs. Nation shall not lift up their sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and then shall make them afraid for the mouth of the Yahshua of the host. Okay, now, it says the mouth of the Yahshua of the host has spoken it. Now, I have a problem with that saying as well, about Yahshua being the Word, and the Father being the Word, and all of a sudden we end up making Yahshua the complete Word of the Old and New Testament, and the Father all of a sudden is going back to his great white throne in the sides of the north, and we don't think about him anymore. Say, oh, he's back running the universe, and he's turned the world over to his Son, which is true. But the Father's Spirit is the one that runs the universe, and this earth is part of the universe. Okay? Verse 5, Micah 4. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Yahweh our Elohim forever and ever. Okay. And his son Yahshua, no doubt. But remember, his son Yahshua has the Father's name on the front of his name. YAH is on the front of Yahshua, the Son's name. Okay? So, just like Elijah. Elijah, when you pronounce it in the Hebrew, it's two parts of the Father's name, Eliyahu. So, all the servants of Yahweh that he's called has his name attached to them, or they're not his servant. That's how you can test all these false prophets out there in the world. If they come in their own name, then they're false prophets. But if they come in the name of the Father, then they have to attach the Father's name to their name. That's the reason why Yahweh says, I slay thee and call my servants by a new name, by my name. And that's the new name, the Father's name. Okay, in verse 6, Micah 4. In that day saith Yahweh, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will get her that is driven out and her that I have afflicted. So from now on we teach this series, the Lord of hosts, the Father, is the Elohim of the host. The Son is also of the host, Yeshua of the host. When he's there addressing his people, then he's the host. I mean, he's the master of ceremony of the host. But when he comes in the name of the Father, which he always does, Yeshua always has come in the name of the Father. He never did anything on his own. He was always in the name of the Father and him. So who is the Lord of hosts? It's the Father. Okay, and the Yeshua is only representing the Lord of hosts. Yahweh is the host. He's a visible representation of the Father, which is Yahweh of the host. So the Father says, I am all in all, and there's no other beside me. It says so in Isaiah, starting with the verse, chapter about 40, 41, 42, 43, right on. Several chapters, Isaiah says, the Father, there is no God beside him. There is no deity beside him, because there's only one deity in the whole universe. There's only one. That's the reason why it says there's none beside me. There's none. I know not any. So, we're going to upgrade our teaching on that. And I'm going to correct all of that. That I used to teach that Yahshua was the deity of this world. No, he's no more a deity than Moses was. Yet Moses was told that he was made a god of the people. Moses had no creative power of his own. Nobody's ever had any creative power of their own. The Son has no creative power of his own. Yeshua. It's the power of the Father through him. And he proved that time and time again. And the same power was emulated through Peter. Peter raised up people from the dead. Elisha raised up people from the dead. And different ones all through the centuries. Yahweh has empowered men, empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit, to raise up other men from the dead, other people from the dead. And we can be the same kind of people today. We can be empowered to raise people from the dead if we become holy and undefiled in all that we just do and say. And we can do the same thing. It says, Micah 4:7, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And who is he going to reign over them? Through his Son. That's who he's going to reign over them, through his Son. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. So, Gilead Center was the third daughter of Zion. Adventist Church produced three daughters. Dashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Okay. And the tower of the flock is the house of David. So he says, O thou tower, and thou tower of the flock, the house of David, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. So the house of David was a stronghold of the daughter of Zion down at Kermit, Texas, at Gilead Center. It was the fact that Yahweh had placed me in there as his servant to be a safety check, a safety valve for the Gilead Center. And in essence, that was a check, that was a safety valve for the whole Seventh-day Adventist Church. Was the fact when he raised me up and sent me down to Kermit, Texas, to be a safety valve, the safety check of Gilead Center. By bounding the truth. And when I bound that truth of Matthew 18 that day with Rhoda Johnson there in 2000, and actually it was in 2001, I bound that truth in heaven and on earth. And Yahweh honored it, and 18 months after I bound that truth on earth with Rhoda Johnson, Gilead Center came to us in at the Atonement of 2002. Okay, now in Micah 4:9, now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? Yes, yes. The angel of the candlestick of Laodicea have perished. Yeah, he's perished. For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city. Okay. So now, this daughter developed into the purified church, which is the house of David. And the city is the Seventh-day Adventist church. And now, he says it's time for the to go forth out of the city. And so he separated this daughter of Zion, the house of David, this little mountain hewn out of the mountains out of hands, and grows the mountain and fills the whole earth, strikes the image on the feet. It goes forth out of the city. Now he can, because the grizzled horse team had been cut loose from this team, and now he goes forth out of the city. And thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even unto Babylon. So you're going to dwell in the field of Israel, and then you're going to go even unto Babylon, this daughter of Zion, the house of David, the bay horses, the lone team that is now connected to that fourth chariot there in Zechariah 6. The grizzled horses have been cut loose, and the bay horses now are free to go to and fro. They're in the field right now, but they're going to go to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Yahweh shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. So, we went into the field. Now we're in Babylon. We're in Babylon right now. And until this year, government is overthrown. Until it's overthrown. And Donald Trump and typical SARS sets up his kingdom at Washington, D.C. And you're going to have Babylon in charge of the world affairs. Okay, verse 11 of Micah 4. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the slaughter. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Yahweh, and their substance unto the Yahshua of the whole earth. Returning now back to Jeremiah chapter 6, let's read that verse 27 again. It said, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. Okay, so the house of David has been set as a tower and a fortress among Yahweh's people. And when was that tower set? It was set in 1970 at Gilead Center. Then it goes on, verse 28 of Jeremiah chapter 6. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. Now, this is talking about the whole Adventist church, all the way from Gilead Center, clear on back to the Adventist church. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because Yahweh has rejected them. So what was Gilead Center called whenever Yahweh separated the house of David from her and raised up the fourth hill, which is as the hill of Zion? So Yahweh said in Psalm 68, this is the hill that I desire to dwell in. Yea, I will dwell in it forever. This Mount Zion at the 12th hour, not the Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Gilead Center was Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Carmel was Mount Zion at the 10th hour. Bashan was Mount Zion at the 10th hour. But Gilead was Mount Zion at the 11th hour, and B.T. Hollis wrote a whole track on that, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Okay, so now Mount Zion at the 12th hour, that's the name of my everything, my website and everything, actually. Mount Zion at the 12th hour. That's part of the name of it. So anyway, it says, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Yahweh hath rejected them. Okay. So now let's go to Jeremiah 1:18. It says, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee. Okay, now what did I just read there? I have made thee this day a defense city. Talking about the house of David. And an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, that's your Davidians, all those different branches of Davidians, at least there's 12, at least 12 different locations for the kings of Judah today, against the princes thereof, that's the leaders of these different locations, against the priests thereof, that's your ministers, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Yahweh, to deliver thee. So Yahweh's people forsake him. Okay, that's in Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's go to Genesis now, chapter 17. We're still dealing with the subject of judgment. Start with verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Yahweh talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be an Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So, the covenant that was made with Abraham in his flesh, so all the seed that came out of Abraham, all the descendants, have to be circumcised. That's the reason why I was circumcised at Kermit, Texas. Yahweh, that was a must. That had to be done. I would have never done it on my own. Under Brother Johnson's teachings, I'd have never done it under his teaching. Because he didn't teach circumcision, literally. The ordinance of circumcision. As being connected unto this covenant here that Yahweh made with Abraham and put in his flesh. Yahweh had to raise up circumstances, and he raised them up through me. We had to have a building down there, and it's an old hospital building. Brother Johnson had moved that old hospital building in there himself for the people there in Kermit. Back there in the early 40s or something like that. And Willis W. Johnson bought that building after it closed down and had it for 10 years. We had it for 10 years, had it for our administration building. But it had the operating room in it, and it had everything just like a hospital is supposed to be. And then I went out in Adventist World and found a medical doctor that joined us, a Filipino man. And then we had a registered nurse also that had joined us, Ted Kermit. So we had a hospital, we had a medical doctor with a license, and we had a nurse, a registered nurse. So we had all of the provisions we needed to perform operations. Can you imagine? Gilead Center had a hospital. And they had a doctor, and they had a nurse, and we could perform operations because we had an operating room, and that's where I was circumcised. And three others were circumcised there, and that's all. I'm the only one that ended up continuing on with Abraham's seed. I was set aside, especially identified to that act of circumcision as being the seed of Abraham. All right, so now it says, actually, let's go now to Genesis chapter 18, and let's read verse 18 and 19. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And he shall keep the way of the Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that the Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So with the seed of Abraham, and he has laid this covenant now, he has made this covenant with us. He has continued this covenant of Abraham with Elijah David. And so all this that I just read to you is going to be fulfilled in us. And the Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. So, it says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Yahweh. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now this prophecy reached down, clear down to Gilead Center. And this is the question that's being asked now for Gilead Center. Whenever it was in existence, the Trumbet, Texas. Let be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous shall be as the wicked. That be far from these, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So now he's saying, the judge of all the earth has got to do right. So Yahweh placed this here a judgment with us, the house of David, so we've got to execute judgment and justice aright. We got to be fair with everyone. Verse 26, Genesis 18. And the Yahweh said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Now he's talking about the Adventist church here as a whole. I find even 50 in the Adventist church that are righteous. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto Yahweh, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for a lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. He said unto him, oh, let not my master be, Yahweh be angry, and I will speak, peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Yahweh. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. In other words, I won't destroy the Adventist church through Gilead Center here. If I find 10 righteous people in the whole Seventh-day Adventist church, starting with Gilead Center, all the way back to the Seventh-day Adventist. And Yahweh went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So this is the prophecy for the Seventh-day Adventist church. She's represented as a Sodom and Gomorrah in these last days. And we know the story. Ezekiel 9 takes care of the antitypical Sodom and Gomorrah and destroying because he couldn't even find 10 righteous people among her. This brings the close of our study. This is our contact. That's at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. What a friend we have in Yahshua.
What a friend we have in Yahshua, all our
our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Yah in prayer. Oh, what peace we often suffer. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to Yah in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Yah in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Yahshua knows our every weakness. Take it to the Yah in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? With the load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Yah in prayer. Do the friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Yah in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Now we'll find a soulless there.